This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, 7:07 in the morning. It is the 19th of March 2019. I am Kusu Chong, joined by Lynn Mark and Sharit Abdullah. It is time for the markets hour and the business end of the morning show. Now, a wrap up of the markets, Sharit Abdullah. How did the US markets do?
Yep, the Dow was up by 0.3%. NASDAQ was also up by 0.3%. S&P 500 up by 0.4%. So everybody's up.
And in Asia, we also closed in the green yesterday. So the Nikkei was up 0.6%. South Korea's Kospi was up 0.2%. The Hang Seng was up 1.4%. The Shanghai Composite was up by a whopping 2.5%. And the Singapore SDI up 0.4%. And the KLCI up 0.6%.
In fact, I've got my screen open on Bloomberg from the Americas to the European markets to the Middle East and Asian markets and the Asia Pacific markets. Every single benchmark index of note is up on the year. The most of which are the Chinese ones. The Hang Seng is up by 14% year-to-date. The Chinese Shenzhen high-tech heavy CSI 300 is up by a whopping 28% so far this year. The NASDAQ is up by 16% so far this year. So ripe fodder and a ripe environment for IPOs. And that's exactly what Lyft is doing in America. Lyft is a more boutique, kind of like ride-hailing service only in America. Mm-hmm. And they do a lot of funky things. Well, they're heading for a public listing, intriguingly ahead of Uber. Now, we learned yesterday, according to the sources, that Lyft is going for a valuation of between $21 and $23 billion. That's about $62 to $68 a share. It's going to be one of the biggest new IPOs since Alibaba 5 years ago.
We also have some updates on Boeing. So the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration employees said that Boeing had too much sway over safety approvals over its aircraft. So an investigation, which dates back to 2012, found that Boeing created a negative work environment in the FAA. So employees faced retaliation for speaking up. But this is well before the development of the 737 MAX. So in recent years, the FAA has even allowed Boeing to choose who oversees their tests and vouchers for the safety of their aircraft.
Yeah, and also the head of WarnerMedia Movies and TV, Kevin Sugihara, is stepping down due to allegations of sexual misconduct. This is another little spanner in the work of WarnerMedia, considering that the restructuring going on at the company after being acquired by AT&T. Sugihara was given an expanded, more powerful role as part of the restructuring of AT&T WarnerMedia. And WarnerMedia said that the investigation is still ongoing.
So share markets have been surging, and to get some clarification on the issue, we've got on the line with us Joe Quinlan. He's the Chief Market Strategist for the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management out of New York City. Joe, welcome to the show. Now, Jerome Powell and his cohorts meet at the Federal Reserve on Wednesday. They're expected to maintain interest rates at the end of their meeting. What are you expecting from them in terms of commentary and rate policy?
Well, I think, as the market expects, no major move with the Fed funds rate. I think the Fed's going to talk about balanced risk in terms of the economy expanding, but at a slower pace than we've seen, particularly a year ago. I think they're going to talk about inflation moderating, pickup in wages. They're going to watch very carefully full employment. So I think the Fed's going to try to kind of hit it down the middle and not rattle the markets. And I think this is one of those Fed meetings where it's going to be more of a non-event than, say, an event.
And given that the U.S. and China are only going to reach an agreement in April by the middle of this year, how much do you reckon, Joe, that this development will be considered at the Fed meeting?
Well, it's just in general, I mean, there's no doubt part of the global slowdown, China's part of it. So China needs a trade deal or move beyond some of these difficulties with the United States and the trading partner. So it'll be top of mind for Chairman Powell and his cohort. They talked about global risk late in December. So something very much in mind. I think they're probably more worried about Europe in terms of the floors of deflation as opposed to China. That's reflating as we speak, although, China's growth is only going to be 5-6%, but only in quotes, because you're talking about a $12 trillion economy. So that's a lot of demand and output. So I think Chairman Powell is more worried about Europe than he is China.
So, Joe, you spoke about Europe. Officials have pushed back on plans to tighten policy. They're questioning whether negative interest rates are more of a problem than solutions now. What do you think the European Central Bank needs to do to mitigate these concerns from the skeptics?
That's a great question. I mean, because they've done a lot and they've not gotten much for it. I mean, all the growth forecasts are being lowered across the Eurozone, on top of unprecedented monetary policy. you know, Europe is just looking at an aging demographic, labor market, more regulation than the United States, not much infrastructure spending. The Eurozone has a surplus. They're not spending it. So, you know, the economics, one thing, remember, for investors, a lot of these European equity markets are doing quite well because they're more leveraged to, say, demand in China and the United States. They're reflating, they're growing, accelerating. So it's a conundrum that you've got very weak European growth, but European equities, particularly large caps, are doing well because they're leveraged to global growth.
Yeah, Joe, you might have heard us talking about Lyft, and of course they're coming to the public markets ahead of Uber. What does that spell in terms of appetite for tech risk, as well as maybe even potential more large IPOs in the offing for 2019?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of folks are looking at the 2020 election year and some of headline risk around technology, the Democrats, you know, gaining more power in Washington. I think 2019 is the year that you come to market, and because it's going to be, could be a little choppier in 2020, given kind of the political optics that are going to be out there. So I think it makes perfect sense. It gives a lift, pardon the pun, to like a lot of technology companies that are ready to come to market. And also, you remember, there's a lot of money, private equity, retail, institution, that's looking for something new, dynamic, that has some growth prospects behind it. So I think it's a good time to come forward with a lot of these IPOs.
Joe, we're also seeing quite a lot of development in the Boeing story. So the Federal Aviation Administration is being questioned by the Transportation Department on claims they haven't done enough to hold Boeing accountable. Boeing has seen a 10% drop in their share price since the airline crash. In your opinion, is this the time to buy, or would we be catching a falling knife, so to speak?
Yeah, that's a good question. I can't say for certain whether, you know, it's a specific stock, but yeah, I just go back to you know, the structure of the global industry. There's only two big aircraft manufacturers. 80% of the world's never gotten on an aircraft. Global tourism is picking up. So to me, I like the sector. I like the companies. I like the high end. So, you know, when you kind of step back and see kind of the cyclical problems against the structural long term tailwinds, you know, you got to be bullish about travel and tourism globally and the middle class consumer traveling more on airplanes. So that's how I look at it. Take the long term. No doubt the company's got some issues to work through here and now. So, you know, you never want to let this, if it looks like a falling knife, don't go near it.
All right, Joe, thanks so much for your time. That was Joe Quinlan of the U.S. Trust Bank of America, Private Wealth Management, out in New York City. We're going to be coming back in a couple of minutes, and we're going to be updating people on the Christchurch shooting. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.